The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." They did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Happy Sunday, everyone. It was nice to get the rain overnight. I think I could hear Cheney Lake just rising just a little bit just with all that rain. But praise God for the rain. We've definitely needed it. I know I've mentioned before in some Sunday homilies how short I was growing up, but it's kind of hard to express completely. Like, I was the shortest, like always. I went to St. Francis, so there were 90 kids in each grade, 3 classes of 30 apiece. And out of the 90 kids, from first grade till eighth grade, I was the shortest. There was one other girl, Betsy, that occasionally, like if I stood really on my tippy toes, sometimes I could be a little bit taller than her. But it was always the shortest. Like, it was so bad that when I got my learner's permit when I was about 15, I remember asking them how short you have to be to qualify to be a midget. Because I thought, if I've had to live with this my whole life, I might as well get like a little, you know, handicap parking sticker or something out of it. And it turns out 5'2 at the time was just a little bit over. So I didn't get one. But because I was so short, I always didn't look forward to picture day. It wasn't just because I maybe didn't care for whatever my mom wanted me to wear and this was going to be remembered forever, but because on picture day, the teacher would inevitably ask before we were going to go to the photographer that we all get in line and we have to get in high order. And so I would do what I often thought of as the walk of shame, as I just walked by all my classmates, all the boys that were definitely taller than me, even most of the girls, and walk all the way to the front of the line. And I would always remember that I always had to be in the front, and I eventually just came to accept it that that's how it was going to be. But this idea of getting in height order, I think, is actually an expression of what the disciples were doing on the way in today's gospel. That they were just creating a sort of ladder, a hierarchy of who was the greatest. It doesn't say what they mean by the greatest. It could have been which is the greatest disciple of Jesus. Maybe the one he pays the most attention to and tells the most things to. Maybe it's the one who understands the best, or even who gave up the most to follow Jesus. Maybe they were just talking about who was the greatest in stature, who was the tallest or had the best stuff. We don't know exactly what they mean by comparing who was the greatest. But it's clear that Jesus in the gospel wants to take them out of that thinking. Not just of comparing themselves to each other, but by being focused on who is the best. I don't think that's because Jesus wants us just to settle for where we are, but it's because he knows that the more and more we compare ourselves and kind of create this ladder, that we're always going to find ourselves sometimes on top and sometimes on bottom. Most of the time, somewhere in the middle. And then we're never going to be kind of satisfied. We're never going to be content with the love of God and the grace he gives us if we're always looking at what we have and what we don't have. And so in the gospel, he wants his disciples to see that certainly there's always going to be some that have more and some that have less. There's going to be people that are taller and shorter, like I learned very quickly in second grade. There's going to be people that seem to be greater or lesser than us. The point is to kind of opt out of that way of thinking, to opt out of thinking that my goodness or God's relationship to me depends on where I see myself on this ladder of the greatest. And instead is to actually follow Jesus. Instead to actually follow him on the way to the cross. Many saints, Saint Rose of Lima included, said that the cross is the ladder towards heaven. That if we want to go towards union with God, that the cross is actually the way to do that. And I think most of us hear that and we think, well, certainly God's going to ask me to do stuff that, frankly, I don't really want to do. Maybe he wants me to change things that I don't want to change or don't think would be good for me. That we think of the cross as just that process of kind of dying to ourselves to follow him. And I think that's partly true, but I think in today's gospel, he wants it to be even more simple than that. He wants us to see that the way of the cross, that if we follow Christ, it's actually more about not thinking about what we're going to receive and about loving others anyway. Because as long as we have that kind of ladder way of thinking, we're always thinking about what somebody else can give us. Right? When I was in second and third grade, I always hoped that I got in Betsy's class. Because there was just that slight chance that maybe I'd grown just enough to not be the shortest in my class. Right? That as long as we're comparing ourselves to others, we always see other people, maybe as a threat, but if nothing else, somebody that we can get something from. Maybe they can help us make a little bit more money or progress in our job. Maybe we're focused on how they can help us with the kids or with our family so that we can have a little extra free time and something we'll enjoy. And again, I don't know that any of those things are bad, but Jesus wants to flip that on its head. He wants to say we shouldn't see other people and see what we can get from them. Instead, we should see that it's really not about what we're going to receive. Instead, about how we can enter into relationship and love. Because for Jesus, that's also what the cross is. The cross is possibly the greatest expression that God will do anything for us, even when he doesn't get anything in return. In fact, if you look at it, he gets the opposite of good things. To love us and to be obedient to the Father, he's willing to endure being rejected, being spit on, being scourged, being embarrassed and humiliated in front of his mother and everyone else who followed him, being rejected and isolated from his friends and followers. All of those things he's willing to endure and receive on our behalf. And so in the gospel today, he wants to show the apostles that they don't need to have that ladder of thinking. They don't need to compare their achievements or the stuff that they have done. But instead to think about how they can love others even if they don't receive anything in return. How they can make themselves the last and the servant of all. That's why Jesus places this child in their midst and says, whoever receives one child such as this receives me. That can be a little bit hard for us to understand. We can be quite sentimental. We see the goodness in children and how they maybe show a hope for our future and how things can change. But at the time of Jesus, children were essentially kind of dead weight. Right? That they're not somebody that could help you, that was going to pull out some money to give you a little bit extra. They weren't somebody that could help you achieve things or accomplish things that you needed to do. And so when Jesus says, the one who receives this one receives me, he's telling the apostles, it's not about what you can get from someone else. Instead, the way of the cross is saying, Lord, I'm willing to do those things and joyfully follow you even when I get nothing in return. Again, that might sound difficult. That might sound like something that we would want to avoid. But I think the reason that Jesus wants all of his followers to embrace the way of the cross is not just because that leads us towards heaven. But it actually gets us out of kind of the roller coaster of the circumstances of our life. That we're just thinking about, well, if I have enough or if I'm on top, then everything is good. So in the Middle Ages, they had an expression called the Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel.
No, not that. Not the one where you buy vows and stuff. But the Wheel of Fortune was kind of this idea of a big wheel, and it was as if somebody was fixed to the wheel. The idea was that because of life's circumstances, sometimes you'll find yourself on top, and that'll be great. But whenever you find yourself, when things are going well and everything's good, you kind of need to be careful. Because inevitably, as the wheel keeps turning, you're going to find yourself kind of on bottom, and eventually everything's going to kind of fall apart again. But don't worry, when everything falls apart, don't worry, because you'll slowly kind of make your way back to the top of the wheel. So there's this idea that in life, sometimes because of things we do, but sometimes just because of random chance or things we can't control, that life always seems to be going up and down. And then in the Middle Ages, they just felt like, well, we just have to kind of accept that. Sometimes things are going to be good, sometimes they're bad. We just have to live with it and persevere through it. But Jesus is saying, what if we just ignored the wheel? What if we knew that sometimes life would be up and sometimes it would be down? But instead of using that to see how we compare to others, instead of finding our worth on whether we're at the top or the bottom, what if we found our worth in the ways that we love others? What if we found our worth in following Christ on the way of the cross? That by embracing the cross, embracing generous and sacrificial love for others, not focused on what we can get from them, but rather what we can give, that would actually take care of all of the problems with the Wheel of Fortune. That we wouldn't just be worried about going up and down all the time. There would be a steadiness in the midst of the changing circumstances around us. I think that's what he wants to show us and his disciples in the gospel. That if we embrace the way of the cross, if we don't just see it as a way to kind of force us to be something that we don't want to be, and instead see the cross as a way that we can give rather than receive, then we can become more like Christ and actually embrace those changing things in the world around us. It makes us more resilient when things aren't going well. That if we can freely give things up, whether they be good food and things we enjoy in this world, or money or time or whatever it might be, we can freely give those things up, that when they're taken from us, it's actually not so bad. We realize that we can live with it and still live in God's goodness. It also seems like we can always improve. That if we're trying to follow Christ on the way of the cross, not worried about what we receive, we never think that we finally kind of made it. And maybe we're at the level enough of being a Christian that, well, I'm probably good enough, so I can probably get to heaven, so I don't really need to worry about that anymore. Instead, it becomes always new. There become new ways to follow Christ and to embrace that love for others. But finally, I think that way of the cross also frees us from comparison to others. That we can see how we're taller or shorter. We can see how we are more wealthy or have more things than others. We can see how we've accomplished things, but maybe others have accomplished even greater things. But our self-worth isn't tied up into that at all. We would see it, I would say, as God does, as just kind of a reality. Some people have some stuff and some people have less. But to God, it really doesn't matter. I would say those things matter to God about as much as who is the tallest in my fifth grade class. But to God, those are just ancillary things. They don't really show anything good or bad about us. Instead, he looks into our heart and says, are you willing to love even when you receive nothing in return? Are you willing to follow Christ your Savior on that way of the cross? Humbly receiving those things and rejoicing even in the challenges of life. So let us pray, brothers and sisters, that we can get off that wheel of fortune. That we won't just kind of ebb and flow with the blessings and challenges of life. But instead, we as the disciples of Christ can embrace the way of the cross. That living humbly, receiving the children and those that can't give us anything in return, receiving them joyfully as we would receive Christ. Because it is then that we grow in true sacrificial love. It is then that our hearts become united to Christ our Savior. It is then, by not worrying about what we receive, that we can joyfully walk the way of the cross, embracing that life of Christ and pointing our lives towards union with Him in heaven.